Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 788. It's the 30th of May, 2017. On the podcast today, I have George Frantaskidis, chairman of Alba Mineral Resources. That's ALBA ticker. And George talks about their recent update on their Amitsoq graphite project in southern Greenland. Also on the podcast, Matt Lofgren, CEO of Nostra Terra, NTOG, and Matt discusses their 10.9% acquisition of Magnolia Petroleum. Plus, Bonnie Hughes, mining specialist at Northland Capital Partners, talks about Savannah Resources, including today's Matamba scoping study results. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is George Frantaskidis, chairman of Alba Mineral Resources. That's ALBA ticker. George, thank you for joining me.
Justin, very good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Now, just hot off the press there, you've just announced your AGM meeting there. We'll get to that in a bit, and some other bits of news we haven't talked about since we last spoke. We'll cover those off. But people tuning in now are not quite aware of what you do, George. Could you explain what Alba Minerals is all about, please?
Absolutely, Justin. Well, Alba's listed on AIM. We've been there for a number of years. We are focused currently on some mining assets and some oil and gas investments. On the mining side, we have a high-grade graphite project in southern Greenland called Amitsoq, and a couple of other legacy mining assets. On the oil and gas side, we are invested in a project called Horse Hill, which you may have heard of, in the Weald Basin in Surrey, which we have a 15% interest in the operator there, Horse Hill Developments. We also have a 5% interest in what was until recently, and we hope will be again, a producing oil field called Brockham.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm sure people are aware of the Brockham area as well, because I've had the guys on from Angus Energy, the operators there, and they've talked about that. So we'll get a bit into that in a bit. But first and foremost, your most recent bit of news, your result of the AGM and a board change. Take us through this, George. What's happening here?
So, yeah, we just had our AGM this morning, Justin, so pleased to say that all resolutions were duly passed. I mean, that's just a standard set of resolutions to enable the company sort of to move forward in the new year. We also did announce at the end of the AGM that Mike Knott, our CEO, is stepping back from his position as CEO. He'll be staying on the board as a non-executive director and still helping us with some of our assets and interests, but Mike's taken the decision to step back. So but we're very, you know, we're obviously very pleased and that Mike's staying involved with the company. He's got a huge amount of knowledge and experience, and obviously wish him well for the future. But we're glad that he's sticking around.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so end of last week, you did an update on Amitsoq, which is in southern Greenland. Can you take us through the update, if you could, George?
Yeah, so on Amitsoq, we've just been through a consultation process with the Mines Department in Greenland. They have approved our field program that's going to start, we hope, later in June, and if not in July, certainly. So we're going back in there into the field to do a couple of things in the main. One is to verify the very, very good results we got out of the airborne electromagnetic survey that we did late last year, where we found about 12 kilometres of potential graphite strike length. So we'll be going back in to verify those results, particularly concentrating in and around the mine area. So this is a project that was mined some time ago, but it was a former mine. So we're going back in to try and verify some of those very interesting anomalous areas for graphite. At the same time, this is a license that has had a lot of interest for other mineralization, and we know that there are, in fact, we've done a very detailed data capture exercise where we've taken all the historical data and we've analyzed it, and as a result of that, we have determined some very interesting results that are running, you know, 2+ gram per tonne gold, and some interesting anomalous results for nickel, copper and platinum group elements. So there's interest on our license other than graphite. Graphite is still the main focus, but the secondary purpose of going back in this summer is to go and test some of those other areas for other mineralisation, including gold.
Okay, and so that's, very soon, assuming the next month or so, is it?
Yeah, well, we hope so. I mean, there's a planning phase that we're in at the moment where we're planning for the field programme. A lot of work obviously has to go into detailed planning for getting out into the field in southern Greenland. I mean, it is southern Greenland, so, you know, whilst there are some challenges there, we're on a same latitude as northern Scotland, so, you know, it's ice free, so there are some positives there which will make life easier for us, but there is obviously a planning development phase that needs to be gone through now as we go out into the field, so that's what we're in at the moment. But June, July, we're saying.
Okay, and you know, on May the 11th you did a Brockham update. What's the news there from your perspective there, George?
Yeah, so look, no real change in the sense that we know that the operator Angus is obviously busy pushing ahead with plans at Brockham, and we field development plan addendum has been submitted, and we await the result of that, and hope that we push forward thereafter quickly with our consortium partners, including Angus, to get Brockham back into production. So that's we hope for very good news on that front in the near future.
It seems like, you know, 2017, especially H2 here, is going to be a busy time for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because at the same time at Horse Hill, I mean, that's the asset, the oil and gas asset that we've got more of an interest in. You know, we're obviously coming into a key phase, so we're expecting planning permission decision quite soon. And thereafter, we'll be hopefully with a positive decision that we would all hope and expect that we'll be moving very quickly into the planning phase for actually getting out into the field and doing some extended flow testing at Horse Hill. So it's an absolutely key phase at the moment, and we're, you know, on the cusp of some really exciting developments for ALBA shareholders.
Yeah, and as far as you know, ALBA's concerned, are you happy with these investments you have so far, or are you always on the lookout for other investments, or are these now your key? Going to focus on these investments?
Well, we're definitely focused on these, Justin. I mean, I think that the graphite has got massive potential. It's a high grade, plus 25% grade graphite project, which is one of the highest in the world. So yeah, we're starting from a very strong position. We definitely want to be pushing that project forward. In terms of the oil and gas assets, you know, there's obviously been a lot of interest in terms of UK onshore market, and we're there. We've got a significant interest in Horse Hill, which is the biggest exploration play, certainly in the Weald Basin. So we're very nicely positioned there, having increased our interest over the last couple of years from 5% to 10% to 15% of the operators. So, you know, we like that asset, and obviously the Brockham asset is very complementary next door. So we think we're very well positioned for growth at ALBA. We do always look at other assets, of course, as an exploration company. That's part and parcel of what we do. So we're constantly looking at other opportunities and assets and keeping things under evaluation. So yes, there is always that side of our business, as you would expect.
Yeah. Okay, marvellous. Well, you know the score here, George. If anyone's listening and they like the sound of your investment, but they're not following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, Justin, I think we're on the cusp, as I said, of some exciting developments and hopefully some really good news flow coming through from our projects on Amitsoq. We're about to go back into the field, and that will verify what we think we found, which is some significant graphite deposits there of a very high grade. So I think now's the time to be following us, because that news flow will come out in the near future, and it could include some really interesting results on the other anomalous mineralization like gold, platinum and nickel. So that's one or two reasons, if you like, to follow us. Mm-hmm. Other than that, as I say, we're on the cusp of some important decisions at our oil and gas investments at Brockham and Horse Hill. So we expect ALBA to be moving forward quite quickly into the summer and beyond. So I think this is a time for us to be, for people to be keeping an eye on what we're up to.
Marvellous, George, good to speak to you. And hopefully, like I said, it's got a news-rich period ahead of you. So hopefully speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Matt Lofgren, CEO of Nostroterra. That's NTOG ticker. Matt, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin.
Now, we've had a few bits of news out since we last spoke, so we'll cover that in a bit. But for people sort of new to the podcast or not aware of what you're all about, Matt and Nostroterra, can you give a brief summary as to the business, please?
Sure. Yeah, we're an oil and gas exploration production company, more focused on the production than the exploration. Got assets in the U.S. and in Egypt, and most of our progress and our growth lately has been in the U.S. and mid-continent U.S., more specifically Texas.
Okay, and so talking about the U.S., the two bits of recent news actually is coming from the U.S. and going back chronologically, May the 24th, Pine Mills court order in favor of Nostroterra. Can you explain this, Matt, and the significance to you?
Yeah, you bet. We bought in November last year, we had bought a 80% interest in this field, in the Pine Mills field, which we operate now as well. And there's an additional 20% divided by two different parties. One party controlled the full 20%, and they had 7.5% interest plus a collection, a judgment. It's a non-appealable judgment for a large sum of money with security over that 12.5% interest. And so we did the transaction where we acquired all of that. And it's just it's more of a process than anything. There's not a legal battle. There's not a question are the monies owed? It's simply a process at this point. So we got the judge to move forward and sign the order of execution, which allows us hands it to the constable to continue on the foreclosure. So that's moving forward now, and shortly there'll be an auction held and somebody can bid for those assets or we'll credit bid using our judgment and we'll either own the assets or we'll have a nice little slug of cash.
So essentially it's a bit of a win-win situation for you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like I said, this one's a no-brainer. It's pretty simple and it's just a process now. It's just a matter of time.
Okay. And talking about Pine Mills, as far as the asset is concerned there, can you give a bit more detail on that for people just to bring them up to speed?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great little asset. Again, it's something that we operate, so we've got control over the pace, but it's got existing production, roughly 100 barrels a day with some workover opportunities, some reentries, and then also some new exploration upside. And we haven't talked much about the exploration upside, but our focus really has been on the cash flow, where we've gone in and we've done quite a bit on changing the way the operations have been to the point where we're actually the first operator in more than 3 years that has made money on the asset.
Wow. Okay. And you're also in that announcement, you're doing a conference call and inviting questions from investors. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Next week, we're excited to do that. We're going to field questions. We'll have possibly a little presentation and field some questions. And we're happy to talk about Pine Mills and well, the new news today, anything else that anybody wants to talk about for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll give details of how to get involved with that very soon. Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Let's move forward then to the news on the acquisition of the interest in Magnolia Petroleum. What's the deal here? How much are you paying? What are you getting? And why are you doing this, Matt?
Magnolia is another AIM company with assets in the U.S. Their assets are in a similar region in mid-continent U.S., more Oklahoma and in the Bakken. Their assets are almost entirely non-op, small non-op working interests. So these are little interests where they don't operate, so they don't have a lot of the overheads that would typically be associated with operations. So it's a lot easier to handle in that sense. They've got a good bit of production, but they've got a lot of debt as well and excessive overhead, in our opinion. And it's something that we were actually approached by former directors and brokers and brokers in London, who came to us and said, you know, we think the company needs to be fixed, it needs to be addressed, We think you guys are actually got the ability to do that because you know the area and your ability to work on these types of things. So they asked us to get involved, and that's where we made the investment.
Okay, so how much are you paying, and what do you hope to sort of, what's the potential here, Matt? What are you looking at?
Well, I mean, right now we're just looking at an alternative way for us to have additional exposure in the U.S. 125,000 pounds, and we end up with approximately 11% of the company. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's the largest block.
Okay, and I've got to say, there's a question saying, someone said this, no idea what to make of this announcement, and they're almost asking for an explanation. But I mean, the explanation is that you're aware and you're very familiar with this area, and you think there's potential here, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, we think the company is subscale. I mean, if you look through the financials, I think that's obvious. But they do have some production, excessive debt, overhead's too high, and these are some things that we think can be changed. They can be addressed.
Okay, all right. And as far as other news is concerned, Matt, what can people expect from Nocitara in the next few weeks, months?
We've got quite a bit going on, actually. That's something we're going to have an update. We already said this in the last RNS on Pine Mills, that we're going to have an update on that on the conference call. It'll be the same time as well. So there'll be more to talk about there and the other areas of our portfolio as well.
Yeah, I've got to say, when I saw this this announcement, I thought, that's interesting. I didn't see that coming. It is interesting to see what happens here coming going forward with Magnolia. And so, you know, and if people are sort of intrigued, but they're not quite following the story, but they saw the RNS, Matt, and they're not following you, could you give them three reasons why they should follow you on Vox, please?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that I'd point out is that a lot of companies, a lot of oil and gas companies are very focused on exploration. And it ends up being one of those things where, you know, they're trying to weather the storm and get some cash flow in time, whether their cash runs out or, it's just because of the market and the way we're facing things. We're a little bit different in that sense where we're very focused on our cash flow and we're very focused on getting that production that can continue in these lower oil price environment. So we're focused on production that makes sense, lifting costs below $30 a barrel.
Yeah.
And so at $50, you know, $45, wherever it ends up, we're happy with that. Of course, we'd like higher prices, but right now it's a buying opportunity for us. So we're continuing to pick up assets in these lower prices.
Yeah, I was chatting to someone recently on the podcast who's quite knowledgeable on the oil sector, and he's thinking there's definitely a flaw under the oil price here, and you know, even though OPEC only have now about 30-40%, you know, of the market, they still think they can't see it going a lot lower. And I mean, that drop in the oil price after the OPEC meeting was because sort of people sort of it was almost sort of priced in kind of thing. And but I think, you know, I don't see it go much lower. Do you, I mean, obviously famous last words, but I mean, do you have thoughts on? I mean, you must have some kind of opinion on the macro environment for oil, do you?
Well, I think it's range bound for a bit. The U.S. has the ability to bring on quite a bit of production, at $30, nobody's interested in really producing. But as you get higher and higher, then people can bring on more production, and as that happens, then you've got more supply. So I think it kind of keeps us range bound for a little bit anyway, until you see some bigger events that might impact that. But like I said, I mean, we're not waiting and trying to hope and, you know, weather the storm. There's a lot of companies that have over-levered. They've put on their debt at $80-$100 oil, and when oil's come down and hit $40, and even when it dropped into $30, but you know, $40, $50 for that matter, they can't handle their debt the way it is, and so they've got problems, and they need to work these things out. And we're not in that position. We haven't put ourselves in that position at all.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Matt, good to chat to you, and you know, people stay tuned if you want to get in on that conference call and ask a few questions, and hopefully speak again soon, Matt.
All right, Justin, appreciate it. Have a good week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Bonnie Hughes, a mining specialist from Northland Capital Partners. Bonnie, happy Tuesday to you.
Ah, happy Tuesday, Justin, after a great long weekend.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to talk about the scoping study that came out on Savannah Resources.
Okay, ticker there is SAV, a very, very well-followed company, actually, very popular stock there. Now, I know, first and foremost, they have a number of interests now, because they were in Mozambique and Oman, but now they've gone for, and it's pretty much copper, wasn't it, mineral sands there, but now they've gone for two lithium projects as well, haven't they?
Well, the Finland project they had previously, but yes, last week they announced that they just took an interest in a spodumene project in Portugal. And, you know, most people would probably look at that and say, why are they sort of spreading themselves a bit thin? But, you know, lithium seems to be a hot sector right now. And, you know, the project, when you look at pictures of it on the website, you know, the spodumene is outcropping at surface. It's still early days because they've only done rock channel sampling so far, but it just remains to be seen. And, you know, the share price still went up on that. So I guess the market viewed it as a positive. And yeah. So today the share price has gone up again on their scoping study that just came out. And obviously the scoping study, it's still, you know, they still have a definitive feasibility to go to, and it could get economics could probably improve with even better ilmenite prices. And also most of the resources that they used in the scoping study were on an inferred basis. So if they can change them to an indicated, it could probably do even better. So they had a pre-tax net present value of about 154 US million. Mm-hmm. And an internal rate of return about 19%. So that's not like ballpark out of this world, but it's a pretty good number. And the CapEx is only about $226 million, including contingency. So not a bad little sort of study to come out. Because if you look at base resources, which, as we know, we talked about a few weeks ago, has $128 million market cap. And basically, they're looking at 360,000 tons of ilmenite production per year. Whereas on the scoping study for Savannah, they're looking at about 456,000 tons of ilmenite production. Mm. And base resources only has a 13-year mine life. And Savannah came out with about a 30-year mine life. So that's kind of interesting when you compare the two sort of production scenarios with base resources.
Yeah, so where are base resources, you know, as far as development is concerned, in comparison to Savannah?
Oh, well, base resources is in production.
Okay, all right. So what is the focus for Savannah now? Because I know, they are, like you said, they are acquiring this lithium in Portugal. They have that lithium in Finland. They have two other projects here. So which one is the actual focus for Savannah?
Well, the closest term one that's to production would be the Oman Copper Project.
Okay.
And so I suspect that any news that they put out on Oman should be a positive for the stock, because mm-hmm. that is closest to production. I mean, you know, the lithium project will take, the ilmenite project will take at least 60 months before it can get into production, whereas the Oman project could probably be in production in about 18 months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe Dave Archer, the CEO, they just likes traveling. Maybe he just wants to go around the place. And he thought Portugal's a nice climate. I wouldn't mind going visiting that place a couple of times a year because Finland's not too warm. Oh, yeah, when I first saw that acquisition in Portugal, I did question as to why they're, you know, taking on another project, because, like I said, their current project seemed to be very good. And like you said, they maybe fear of spreading themselves too thinly, but it's reacted positively as far as investors are concerned, because the share price has gone up, hasn't it, you know?
Yes, that's true. So as I said, because lithium seems to be in vogue right now, they're just probably capitalizing on the interest in lithium. And, you know, because it's a spodumene project and also outcropping at surface, it could turn into something very interesting. It's still very early days in order to know how good that project will be. As you can see from the Chinese, they seem to prefer a spodumene project over a brine project because the yields are much more predictable.
Okay, all right. So you'd say Savannah Resources definitely one to put on people's watch list. Is that right?
Well, I think the most interesting news that could be coming out is some more news on the Oman project, because as I said, that is the one that will be closest to production for them and, you know, get them generating some cash flow.
Okay, excellent stuff. Bonnie, thanks for the update, and hopefully speak again next week.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
All right, it's time for today's top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And this essentially is a measure of money. When people follow a company on Vox Markets, they do it for one of two reasons. Either they're an investor, or they're doing research and looking to become an investor. So it's a good measure of money here, money flow. At five, Andalas Energy and Power, ADL. At four, Petrofac, that's PFC. At three, Georgian Mining Corporation, that's GEO. At two, Stratero, AERO. And I did a blog on covering those on the weekend, and I think they're a very cheap company for what they're doing, looking to be cash flow positive at the end of the year. They have cash. They've got a market cap of 1.6 million, which is tiny. You know? Number one, it's Echo Energy. That's ECHO ticker. And just look at the... That's been highly followed over the last couple of weeks. And just look at the share price reaction to that. It's like I said, it's a measure of money flow that followed. And if you see a company followed a lot, featuring that top five a lot, it's worth doing some research on that company, I believe. All right, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours were... At five, Vast Resources, VST, a Reserve Bank approval for... $4 million disposal of non-controlling interest in the Zimbabwean gold projects. At four, Ascent Resources, AST, director's conversion of loan notes. At three, Edenville Energy, EDL, Rukwa coal project update. At two, SDX Energy, result of flow test as SDX1X discovery. And number one most liked RNS on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours goes to 88 Energy. That's ticket 88E, and this is the Icewine 2 Operations Update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.